We are here in the studio on WGN, 10 minutes after 2 o'clock, with Paul Vallis. No one like Paul Vallis, I'll tell you. He ran for mayor, head of the Board of Education of the city of Chicago, and other cities. If I read his bio, we'd be here for hours, just you listening to me reading his bio. You have a Twitter feed, Paul, and you are not so happy, understatement, I think, about the way things are going in Chicago right now, or have been going since Lori Lightfoot, I think that is her name, became mayor.
Well, let me tell you, I wasn't happy with Rahm Emanuel either, which is why I ran against him.
Yeah.
I think things have gotten far worse, and not only with respects to public safety, but with respects to the schools, or for that matter, the city finances. You know, they just passed a budget that's going to exhaust all the COVID windfall monies from the federal government right after election year. It's a budget that is 60% larger than the pre-COVID budget. Think about that. Without a corresponding increase in revenue. So when the COVID money runs out, the city is going to be facing a massive structural deficit. And then the question is, what are you going to do? Not fill police vacancies, cut city services across the board, raise property taxes. So, you know, I've been really posting both on my Facebook, my public Facebook, Paul Vallis, and on LinkedIn under the same name, Paul Vallis. And I've been tweeting, obviously, on those issues from the very beginning.
Yeah, you have. And first of all, our phone number, 312-981-7200. You can text or you can call if you have a question for Paul Vallis or a comment, because you're about to say something. So let's unpack some of what you just talked about. I was talking to you before we went on the air about a restaurant. I think it was in Roscoe Village. People are just sitting there. They're having their meal. And all these people come in with guns and rob just about everyone in the restaurant, not to mention the carjackings, not to mention the stores. All of these retail stores, and the mayor's answer has been, these stores, I don't know how they'd ever afford it, are responsible for their own security. Carjackings, we'll talk about in a minute. That's a separate issue.
Yeah.
So what do you do about the marauding gangs that have come into retail stores and now restaurants?
Well, let me tell you what the problem is. I'll break down the problem threefold. And I did a post. I've been posting on public safety exhaustively. And my most recent post on what I would do, or what I would advise the mayor to do, or what I've been advising her to do for the last 2 years, you can look at my November 22nd post, and I talk about what needs to be done with the police department to make it effective. But you have three fundamental problems with the police, with public safety right now. First, the strategy of pulling police officers from 1,000 officers from the districts and deploying them in some sort of like shock and awe citywide unit has been an absolute disaster. There are districts, violent districts, that have 75 to 125 fewer officers than they had prior to the strategy. If you remember, Interim Superintendent Beck came in and he laid out a plan and he said, what's really important is that you take these police officers and you get them into the local districts at the local beats. Brown has completely reversed that. It's been a disaster. A second problem is the police are so demoralized, they are retiring at or transferring to other police districts at record rates, and the city can't fill them because people are just not applying to be a police officer. So they are literally bleeding officers. They are well over 1,000 down from last year. And so that combination of fewer officers with officers being pulled from local beats means these districts have maybe 25-30% fewer officers than he should have, just to provide the basic protections. The third problem is this restraint, whether it's the state. I mean, the state literally passed a so-called justice reform bill that handcuffs the police and in some cases criminalize aggressive policing. Now, I'm all for accountability, and you know, from the campaign, I'm an accountability freak. But at the end of the day, I mean, literally, police, they can't chase, they can't pursue, they can't track down. So these criminals know that the police can't chase them. The criminals know that, unless they murder somebody or they shoot somebody, chances are they're not going to get charged or not going to get prosecuted. So those three things in combination have really kind of, it's become open season. These criminals can just simply walk the street.
So what do we do? What do we do about it?
Well, there's a combination of things that you need to do. So let me try to simplify what you need to do.
Well, wait. We'll simplify it.
After commercial?
How did you know that? He's been on the radio too many times. I know.
Right.
I know. Paul Vallis is here. You're welcome to chime in. Hopefully you can get a breath in. If you at 312-981-7200, that is our telephone number. You can text. You can call. Whatever moves you. WGN, it is 218. The one and only Paul Vallis is here. So I have to ask you, and you can give me whatever answer you want. Of course you will. Is Paul Vallis running for mayor again?
Oh, you know, I've been commenting on these issues, not because I was planning on running again, but I just felt that there needs to be people out there that are trying to not just point out the problems, but also articulate solutions. You know, you never say never, but it takes considerable funding to run for mayor, as you well know. And in a very crowded race, you know, sometimes even the best of candidates can become, you know, their campaign message can be diluted.
So I'm thinking that's not a no, and it's not a yes.
Well, if the funding's there, I would certainly consider it, but that's not going to stop me from doing what I'm doing.
And I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. I mean, you know, speaking out is not a bad thing. So we were going to talk about your solutions, but first, on WGN, Ed in LaGrange. Hi.
Good afternoon. Hi, Paul. You know, Paul, you're talking about the Criminal Reform Act that was just passed by the legislature, and part of that was the Bail Reform Act. Well, recently, you've probably seen there's been a lot of arrests of people on electronic monitoring that have been charged with new offenses while on electronic monitoring outside of their homes. The reason for that happening is that the Bail Reform Act now permits defendants on electronic monitoring to leave their host site for 48 hours without permission from a judge or the sheriff to go anywhere they want to go. As long as they come back within 48 hours, it's not considered escape. So you get people going in and out all day long or every 48 hours, go home, sleep for an hour or two, go back out on the street.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a joke of electronic monitoring. And this is what no one's addressing, unless John Cass and the people will bring this stuff up.
John Cass does bring it up.
It's not DART's fault. Well, that means it's not DART's fault that this is the problem. This is where the legislature passed this goofy bill.
A goofy bill passed by.
You should probably also take a look at House Bill 163.
Ed, hang on. That's okay. Let Paul Vallis comment on what you're saying, which is essentially that, all right, the bad guys get caught and they're back out in like 5 minutes, I believe. You know what? I want to add to what Ed is saying. I can go through, I think, now what is it, 5 miles, 7 miles over the speed limit?
6 miles over, yeah. And you get ticketed.
I get ticketed.
Yes.
I get into more trouble. I pay more than if I'm to rob a store.
That's right. Well, look, you know, let me respond, and I'm sorry, for some reason
the headphones weren't exactly
headphones
working, so you only heard.
So, yeah, so I didn't hear the questions. Let me give you some frightening statistics. First of all, only 20% of the murders committed this year have resulted in someone being arrested. In fact, the police have only made an arrest through September, had only made one arrest, in the 58 mass shootings that have occurred. Mass shootings are 4 people shot at one time. CWB, that does an excellent job tracking crime data, superb job, they point out that in the last 3 years, only 4% of the shooters shooting cases have been cleared. So in other words, if you get murdered, you know, they might solve your case, but if you get shot, they're probably not going to.
And even if they do, what is the penalty?
Well, let me just explain. So number one, they're not clearing cases. They're not clearing cases. These numbers are unbelievably low, unacceptably low. Now, when they do arrest, 26% of the time in felony cases, Fox doesn't charge them. Okay, so if they do arrest,
you're talking about Kim Fox,
the Cook County State's Attorney does not charge him. Now, if they do arrest and they do charge, guess what? It's 72% of the cases. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal looked at Cook County data. In 72% of the cases, we're talking about serious felonies. We're talking about violent offenses or gun violations. 72% are released on bail. They're on walking around with home or they're walking around with ankle bracelets. So the bottom line is, on any given day, what, 80 to 90% of the violent criminals are actually potentially walking the streets of Chicago.
And some of those walking the streets of Chicago on ankle bracelets aren't followed anyway.
Yeah, and they're committing crimes again.
Right.
CWB also reported that they're keeping a running count. And the last number I saw, I think it was 55 individuals who were on felony bail had gone out and committed a murder or had shot somebody. And incidentally, that's roughly about 15% of the people who have been arrested, who had then gone out and committed other crimes were people who were on felony bail. Well, that's based on a 15% combined shooting and murder clearance rates. Apply that to 100%. That means not 55, but maybe as many as 500 of the shootings and the murders that have occurred, overwhelmingly the shootings, have been committed by possibly people out on felony bail. So number one, they're not arresting. Number two, when they do arrest, there's too many people not being charged. And number three, when they arrest and they are charged, the majority of them are released right back into the community.
So, okay, so this picture is not a good one.
It's not a good one.
What would you do about it? Well, because Kim Fox is in office.
A combination of reasons. And you have to understand, people say, oh, the police, the public doesn't trust the police. No, the public... It's not that the public fears the police. The public fears that the police can't protect them. Why? Because you don't have cops on the local beat. Community policing is literally out the window. So I would return those off. I would break up these citywide units, and I would focus on maintaining beat integrity so there is a presence. You see the officer there. That's number one. Number two, I would establish a witness protection program, a witness and victim protection program.
I thought we have that.
Well, they don't. There's no program. There's no mechanism in place to protect witnesses. That's why people aren't testifying. That's why you have mass shootings and no one is coming in to give testimony, because the shooters are walking among them within the community. So I would use the money, the property that is confiscated, whatever, to provide the financing. And we're not talking about... This isn't like Goodfellas, where we're sending Henry Hill to Phoenix to live in a suburban home. Sometimes it's just relocating somebody. Sometimes it's just kind of monitoring the witness and things like that. The third thing is, I would go out and I would hire back police officers with investigatory experience who had retired, and I would incentivize them, give them health insurance coverage. Giuliani did it before he lost his mind in New York. I mean,
yes,
he did. Brown's successor did it in Dallas. They did it in London. They hired 500 constables. The whole idea is you bring individuals in with detective experience to do nothing but work these cases. You do those three things, and those three things alone are going to make a difference.
But even Paul, if they work those cases and if they charge them, or the police want to charge them, well, if Kim Fox's office or the judges, who you haven't mentioned, say, oh, you can go back out on the street, it's still not going to do any good.
Well, the fourth thing you do is you can bypass Kim Fox. If Kim Fox doesn't want to charge or prosecute, you can bypass her.
How?
You can bypass her by going to a judge, and it's been done on rare occasions.
But the judges haven't, due to the chief judge, the judges
have
not been...
It's not Kim's Fox's choice to prosecute. The police officers, you can bypass the Cook County State's attorney, and you can go to a judge, particularly in violent cases like murders and shootings, and you can bypass her to ensure that these people are charged. And look, I mean, the first thing you got to do is vote these people out of office, because they are fundamentally incompetent. They're fundamentally incompetent when they cannot distinguish between violent offenders and nonviolent offenders. We're not talking about going back to the 1970s and 80s when they were incarcerating people for nonviolent drug offenses and things like that. That's not a return. This is what we're talking about, is distinguishing when you're charging, when you're making decisions about who gets released on bail, or who gets slapped with an ankle bracelet. When it comes to sentencing, you've got to distinguish between the violent offenders and the nonviolent offenders, and they're not doing that. So by bypassing her, and by, in effect, you know, the city should be reviewing all the decisions that are made, whether it's by Fox and the judges, and they should be publishing and identifying anytime the city agrees with the failure to charge or the charge that's levied or the sentence. There should be full transparency because the judges need to be held accountable too. So those are some fundamental things that you could do and you need to do.
Right, and the judges aren't the solution either because the judges aren't doing what you said.
Yeah.
So when they are being bypassed right now, or Kim Fox's office is, who is more like, rather than a public defender, perhaps, rather than a state's attorney.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
that's right.
Something's wrong with this picture.
But look, Fox has released, when it comes to felony bail, the Tribune did an analysis and they said that Fox had released three times the number of people who during her first 3 years than Alvarez had released during that same period. And the Wall Street Journal did an analysis looking at people who were on like ankle bracelets, you know, they had the monitors and things like that. Individuals who had committed violent offenses or gun offenses. And I think they took a snapshot and they looked at last July, and there were like 3,500 who basically were not in jail, but they were at home back in their communities compared to 500 10 years earlier. So what are we doing? It's a revolving door where it's sending people right back to the street. So what we've got to do is we've got to restore beat integrity. We've got to fill these vacancies by running double classes, day and evening classes at the police academy. We've got to invite retirees to come in to fill these ranks so that we're getting experienced investigators to supplement our detective corps. We've got to establish a witness and victims protection program. And then let me tell you one other thing we need to do.
Well, we can't.
We're literally
up against the clock. I've never seen you so riled up, and I've known you for a long time. Did you know Jane Byrne?
No, not personally.
There's a show about her at the Looking Glass Theater, and when she moved into Cabrini Green, what that was all about. And we're going to hear all about that after the 2:30 news. Paul Vallis, people can follow you on Twitter. And as I said, you care about this stuff. Friends, if you can't tell, I mean, his blood pressure, I'm worried about you now.
I'm fine. Thank you so much. But check out my November 22nd post, where I really articulate these things in great detail on what the strategy should be for the police department to be effective.
That's at Paul Vallis on Twitter. Paul, thank you so much.